Just wanted to make a few comments about my father and also using his life as a metaphor for what the Lord provides for us. My dad was very much, as my sister rightly pointed out, a generous man and a provider. Probably one of the most poignant thoughts of my dad are that he enjoyed providing for others, especially as children. Their first car, helping them get their first job, get into their first home. I think my dad was happiest when he was able to function as that provider. He worked hard to be able to do that. And that was probably a hallmark of his sense of, I love you by helping you move forward as well. He also was an easy mark. I've told my kids and in the household, my mom was the one who kept the budget, and she was always kept everything to the penny. I think that my mom, up until recently when she no longer really kept the budget, could have told you where every penny, literally, they'd spent in their marriage went. I don't mean that just to the dollar, I mean it to the penny. So if you are, as a young man, and I was wanted a little extra cash to go out, you know, the show with my friends or something, never ask mom. You ask dad. Dad would say, how much you need? I said, well, we're going to the movies. And he goes, well, here's 20. Just bring me the change, you know, and never take him the change. And a few weeks later, I want to go out, and dad, I need some money. Didn't I give you 20 just a few weeks ago? Yeah, yeah. He goes, well, where's the change? I don't know. Oh, here's another 20. He was always very gracious that way. He loved providing. He loved providing for my mom and for our family and for many other people. I have a cousin who got himself in some serious trouble along the way. And my dad was there to bail him out, not just financially, but using some of his relationships at the Pentagon. He loved helping to empower people that way. And makes me think of this particular time, you know, death comes always at an inconvenient moment. And if there was ever a good time to stop and have a funeral service or a memorial service, it would seem to me that those who are in Christ, the two best would be in the spring near the Resurrection Sunday, or what we call Easter season. We're here the Christmas season, because their God, our Heavenly Father, has made the most obvious great provisions for us. And in the greatest provision our Heavenly Father has given to us is His own eternal Son, Jesus Christ. We're told in Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word, the eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. He came to provide for us that which we could not provide for ourselves. The incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ was never meant to be just some religious abstraction. It was never meant to be just an excuse to extend greetings, exchange cards, and some presents. It was meant to be the most profound historical reality that would provide for sinful men and women such as us the things that we most desperately needed. The Eternal Son became true man, took on a true human nature, a true human body, in order to deliver us from death and to teach us once again how we might know God. When God created us, He made us to know Him. The Heidelberg Catechism puts it this way. It says, God created man good after His own image, in true righteousness and holiness, that he might rightly know God, his Creator, and heartily love Him, and live with Him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise Him. God made us to know Him, and to enjoy Him, and to glorify Him. The very first chapter, the very first book of the Bible says God created us in His own image, male and female. And the New Testament sums up salvation with the words as putting on the new self, which is being renewed to the true knowledge of the one who created us. We were made to know God. We were made to enjoy Him. We were made to have fellowship with Him. God made us not only to live for ourselves, but to live for His glory. And as one writer put it, for what use is existence to the creature if it does not know its maker? What's the point of living if you cannot and do not know God? The knowledge of the Maker for mankind is the only real true happiness and blessed life. And so God provided a means for us to once again know Him. Because of the sin and rebellion of our very first parents, we were not only cast out of God's garden, we are tossed and thrown into the darkness of ignorance concerning who God is and why we're here. Isn't that the question most every teenager asks somewhere along the line? Why am I here? What's this all about? Evidence of that estrangement. We do not know our Heavenly Father as we ought. Remember when I first became a believer, there was a song that a Christian writer had talked about. I really don't remember the name of the song. I don't really remember much about the song, except for in the midst of the song, there was these birds were talking to each other, and the birds were looking at mankind and asking themselves, why is mankind so anxious for food and for clothing and for shelter? Don't they know they have a Heavenly Father who can take care of them? Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John that this is the judgment for our sin, that men love darkness rather than light. And Paul tells us that man in that love and pursuit of darkness has exchanged the truth of God for a lie. We come to love and worship creatures and creation rather than our Creator. But by the incarnation, Jesus comes to provide for those who, professing to be wise, had become fools. He comes in order that we might again know our Heavenly Father. It says in John chapter 1 that He came, Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that He might explain to us the Father. Jesus comes to us as a prophet to teach us the will of the Father. And He takes on a body and a real human nature that He might show us what the Father is like. And He does so not only in His teaching, but in His works. He heals the blind man to show He's the Lord over the body. He cleanses the leper. He raises the dead. He's the Lord even over life and death. He walks upon the water. He causes the sea to be calm. He changes water into wine. And even the demons are afraid of Him. Jesus, in all that He said and all that He did and everywhere He went, showed us the Father, explained to us the Father, and demonstrating that He Himself was God incarnate and the Lord and ruler of all of life, was showing us how we might know the Father. And He can say, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Me. You remember that in John 14, one of the disciples says, as Jesus goes to say, you know, I am the way and I'm going. And I think it's Philip that says, how do we know the way? And Jesus says, if you've seen Me, you have seen the Father. So our Heavenly Father has provided for us a wonderful way to know Him and His eternal Son and the Spirit that goes before them to accomplish all of their will. And so just as my Father has greatly provided for us, so our Heavenly Father has super provided for us in Christ, in the Incarnation, a way to know not only God, but to know the blessed life of the creature who knows his Creator. But also in the Incarnation, there was God has provided for us not to fear death. My dad has died. We will miss him. And yet, in our society, death has become such an odd thing. I think as my wife was pointing out somewhere along this last week that, you know, really so often and not that long ago, maybe some of you are able to even have personal recollections of this, my dad would have laid in the living room for multiple days. But now we put him off into rooms and other buildings and we don't see it. We don't want it. Because we're afraid of it. Seems to me we're afraid of death for at least two reasons. There's probably a lot more. But one reason is because of what we really are. The Bible tells us that God created out of nothing. Like Hebrews 11:3 says that by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. God did not create out of pre-existing material. As you heard, my dad could fix anything, but he could create nothing. He didn't go to like Home Depot because he wasn't around really when he was in his fixing years, but that's what he would have done. He would have gone to Home Depot and buy some things and come home and fix or make something. But God doesn't fix or make things. He creates them. There's a story I think I used as a sermon illustration one time about this molecular biologist dies and goes to heaven and says to God on his arrival to heaven, "We don't need you anymore. We've cracked the secret of the human genome. We've charted the DNA. We're able to cure diseases by rearranging that DNA. We don't need you anymore." So God, without saying anything, just bends over and picks up some dirt and breathes onto it, and there's a new human standing there. And God turns to the scientist and says, "Can you do that?" Scientists began to bend over to take up some dirt to do as God had done, and God says to him, "Get your own dirt." Because God creates out of nothing, there is nothing intrinsic in anything other than God, including you and me, for life. Even apart from sin, we are, if God does not hold us together, we are naturally moving to non-existence and to death. God had to bring us into existence out of nothing. He doesn't shape us like a craftsman. He creates us with his word. And then apart from that reality, that there's nothing intrinsic to us that is allowing us to live apart from God, sin has given us a double problem. Because sin has corrupted what is there. And because of sin, we move into non-existence. And God has come in the person of his Son in order to set us free from that, to deliver us from the ignorance that we have and from the destruction that's going on that leads us to where my Father is today, moving to death. So Jesus Christ, it says in Hebrews 2, it says, took on flesh and blood, like his brothers, that he himself partook of the same, that through his death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all the days of their lives. Jesus has provided us a means for the death of a loved one not to be a fearful thing, not for us to be afraid of it when it comes. Athanasius, about year 300 and some, writes a book entitled Incarnation. In there he talks about the resurrection of Christ. He talks about how now, because of the death and resurrection of Christ, that men and women and children are no longer fearing death, but willingly prepare themselves to die. What a wonderful gift. I mean, if you went around and said that to people, how do you know? Well, I'm preparing myself to die. People might think you odd. But what is death? But the passing from this life to the next, from this age to the next. And in Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul can say, to go be with Jesus is very much better. As good as this life can be, to go be with Jesus is very much better. And our Heavenly Father has provided a way for that. Athanasius would go on to say this, "Have no fear then, now that the common Savior of all has died on our behalf, we who believe in Christ no longer die, as men before, in fulfillment of the threat of the law. That condemnation has come to an end, and now, by the grace of God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, corruption has been banished and done away." And he says this, "And we are loosed from our mortal bodies in God's good time." And that's what's happened to my father. He hasn't died. He's been loosed from his mortal body that was disintegrating anyway. Those of you who saw him and knew him knew that he was not at his best, you know, and those of us who are getting older know we're not at our best. Some of you are still too young to know what that means, but you will. It's a day and you won't be able to do those back handstrings anymore and walk on your hands. But we don't die under the judgment and corruption. We die in being loosed from these bodies in hope of the resurrection for a new body. And that's what our Heavenly Father has provided for us. And so, while I grieve, my family grieves, we also, as my nephew Rich has read, are so well aware of that death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? Our great Heavenly Father has provided a way for us to know Him through Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf, taking away all the sin that causes physical and eternal death, and has shown us the way that we might know our Heavenly Father, the way those birds do, and know that we have one who will take care of us. Or as was read by my niece Bess in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me." And so we can commit my Father in body and soul to a wonderful Heavenly Father who delights in providing ways for us to know Him and to enjoy Him and to live forever in His presence, to glorify Him. Death is just another passing step to that journey home to be with that wonderful Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. In Christ we pray. Amen.